Well, today we have a special day planned. Today we're going to get to partake in what we call the Lord's Supper. And I think it's a time where we want to be reverent, we want to be reflective, but at the same time, I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that what we celebrate today is not something that we mourn, but something that we celebrate. Now, I want you to understand that. Again, we're not saying that we're not reverent. We're not saying that we're not going to reflect on what Jesus has done. But I want you to understand, it's not a time to be droopy and sad. It's a time to be excited because our Savior was born on Christmas Day, but then He died on a cross so that we might be forgiven. And that's something to celebrate and not something to mourn. Amen? So that's why we're here today. And again, we're going to take our time. We're going to go through a few things, but we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. And maybe you're here today and you've never partaken of the Lord's Supper. Can I just say thank you for coming? Don't feel weird. We're not drinking blood or pulling out snakes. Hallelujah. So it's not, I'll explain what we're going to do here in just a little bit. And that's what I want to do. Today I want to explain why we do what we do. A lot of people walk into churches and they walk out and they go, I don't know what I just did. I never want that to be the case at Thousand Hills Ranch Church. I want you to understand exactly what you're doing so that you can truly know the meaning of why we do it. And so here's what we do. At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we always keep in mind that we are here and we are called to reach unchurched people. People that don't know the Bible. People that have never taken part in the Lord's Supper. And so maybe for you today, what I share today is old hat. You've heard it 1,000 times. Can I just tell you, please pray for those that haven't. And thank God for those that haven't. And rejoice that somebody today gets to take part in the Lord's Supper for the first time today. And we want to explain why that we do that. And so I want to answer 6 basic questions today, and then we're going to partake of our Lord's Supper. The first one is this. What is the Lord's Supper? I mean, that's a good question, right? What is it? What's the Lord's Supper? I mean, is it just something where we eat a little flaky, you know, piece of bread that tastes like crumbs and drink juice and that's all there is to it? No, there is a true meaning about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is this. It's a symbolic act of obedience that we, the church, partake in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. Some of you teenagers are here today. Some of you kids are here today, and you don't know the true meaning of this. And you need to listen because this is something that we honor our Lord because He's done so much for us. Now, here's the thing. There are 2 different ordinances that we partake of in our church. Number 1 is baptism, right? Once you get saved, you give your heart to Christ, we follow Christ in believer's baptism. In other words, it's an act of obedience. He has commanded us to follow Him and be baptized. You know why? Because He was baptized. And He's our example. So that's one of the ordinances that we follow. And you say, what's an ordinance? An ordinance is a command or something that God or an authority has asked us to do. That's what an ordinance is. The second ordinance that we follow is the Lord's Supper. And we're going to explain why we do that. Why is it called the Lord's Supper? Well, again, it's a symbolic taking of the Last Supper that Jesus had with His disciples. If you have your Bibles, and if you do, you want to turn to Luke chapter 22 really quick. Luke chapter 22. If you don't have your Bible, then we will have it on the screen for you. Luke chapter 22, we're going to read why it's called, or what's the meaning behind the Lord's Supper. Jesus, let me preface this. Jesus is getting ready to be betrayed, right? He's in the garden, He's getting ready to be betrayed, and He's getting ready to be crucified, and He wants to spend His last meal, listen, His last meal with the ones that loved Him most. And who is that? His disciples. And so they're going to partake of what they call the Last Supper together. Now the disciples get the meal ready and then they sit down to eat. And that's where we pick up the story. Look at it on the screen, verses 14 through 20. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and His apostles reclined at the table. And He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover. Is the word Passover up there? Now I want to explain this to you real quick. I want to stop right there. You say, well, what's a Passover? A Passover is another meal that the Jews would take part in as remembering when they were delivered from Egypt. And you say, well, what's that story about? And I'm not going to tell the whole story. You can read it later on in Exodus chapter 12. But back in the day, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were taken captive by Pharaoh. Remember the song, Pharaoh, Pharaoh? Oh, let my people go. If you've ever been in children's church, you know that song. But that's the story that we're talking about. And Pharaoh has taken all these Israelites captive, right? And he's taken them captive, and God says, I'm going to judge Pharaoh. And how many plagues did he send? He sent 10 plagues. The 10th plague was the plague of the firstborn. Now let me explain this real quick, and this may be interesting to you. I hope it is. The plague of the firstborn was this. God was going to send a death angel to come sweeping through the town and kill all the firstborn of every family in Israel. Right? Every family. And it wasn't just the firstborn child. It was the firstborn lamb, the firstborn donkey, the firstborn camel, anything that was a firstborn. He came and he was going to send this death angel to come and to kill the firstborn of everything. And you say, well, why was he doing that? He was judging Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But he was also judging the Israelites. Now, here's the thing. Moses, back in the day, at this point right now, he comes to the Israelites and he says, okay, here's all you got to do. You grab a lamb, an innocent lamb, an unblemished lamb. You slaughter it and you rub the blood on the doorpost of your house. And if you will do that, the death angel will pass over your house. And your child will live, and your donkey will live, and your camel will live. But if you don't, then every firstborn, child or whatever animal in your home will be killed. And that's what was called the Passover. And Jesus is sitting down with his disciples, and he's saying, hey, man, I can't wait to take this Last Supper. I can't wait to take this Passover lunch, this Passover dinner with you for the last time before I die. Let's pick it up again. It says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was poured out for you. And so they're partaking of the Last Supper. Jesus is explaining what's fixing to happen. And he's telling them, giving them this ordinance or this command to take part in this Last Supper. Now you say in verse 25, I want you to look at verse 25 again. It says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And you might be asking, well, what's the new covenant? Well, let me explain this as well. In the Old Testament had a command from God. What you had to do is you had to slaughter a lamb. The priest would take that lamb's blood into the Holy of Holies, and he would put the blood on the altar as an atonement or as a covering for all of their sins. Remember? The priest was the only one that can do that. And he had to take the blood, and he had to bring it into the temple, and he had to sacrifice it for the sake of the sins of the people. Now you say, well, what is that? That's the old covenant. So what's the new covenant? Let me just explain it this way. The new covenant was what Jesus gave us. Listen to this. Look at the parallel. A lamb, innocent, bloodshed. Jesus, innocent, human, perfect in every way, never sinned. He was crucified and his blood was shed so that you could know Jesus Christ and know God personally. Do you see the parallel there? You say, okay, so the old covenant was in the Old Testament, sacrifice a lamb. The new covenant was Jesus himself being sacrificed on the cross for you and for me. And here's the thing. Therefore, we don't need a priest. We don't need anybody else. You don't need me to be able to communicate with Christ or to ask for forgiveness. You can go straight to Jesus because of the new covenant. Amen? It's a good thing. So, because of what Jesus was fixing to do on the cross, he was going to provide a way for sinners like you and like me to have a personal relationship with God. Now, here's the next question. How often should we partake of the Lord's Supper? Now, if you read the Bible, you know, very often, you might come across a few ideas on this idea of how often. Really, the Bible, and I've studied the Word, and I've asked people all about it. A lot of churches differ on how often they do it, and that's okay. If a church's tradition to have it every Sunday, praise God. Our church, here's where we stand on how often we should have it. We believe that we should have it as often as the Lord tells us to. If that's, once a month, if that's once a quarter, if that's, whatever, it's not the amount of times that we do it that means anything to us. It's the motive and the meaning behind why we do it. And here's the thing that we desire to do. We desire to honor God in whatever we do. And we do not want to make a pious ritual out of something that is so honoring to God. And so that's why we do it when the Lord leads us to do it. So again, you may say, well, in Acts chapter 2, the disciples did it daily. Well, they were meeting daily. They were in the temple daily. We don't do that. If you partake of the Lord's Supper in your home every day, go for it. But we desire to honor God with that, and that's where Thousand Hills Ranch Church stands on how often we should do it. Well, here's the next question. What are we to remember? If we're to remember what Christ has done for us, what is it that we're to remember in partaking of the Lord's Supper? Well, here's the thing. Jesus wants us to remember the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. Now, Paul never got to walk with Jesus. He's one of the disciples that other than Jesus Christ himself, Paul is one of the greatest, if not the greatest disciple that Jesus ever had. But guess what? He never got to walk with Jesus. But he has an account in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 of what he was told and what Christ told him about this Lord's Supper. And I want you to follow along with me as I read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, one night he was betrayed, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let me stop right there. You say, well, what's the body? It was Christ's body that was given for you. And he says, break this bread, take this bread in remembrance of my body that was crucified for you. And listen to what else he says. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You say, well, what are we supposed to remember? Verse 26, the very last verse right there, it gives it to you. It says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And you say, well, so what are we supposed to remember, Bo? Explain that to me. We're to remember his death on the cross, and we're to remember that he's coming back for us. Amen? He died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And can I just throw this in? And you say, well, why do we do it around Christmas time? I believe that we also should remember Christ's birth. I mean, he came on Christmas Day. That's the true meaning of the season. And we are to remember him and honor his birth as well. Now, here's the last question. Who can take of the Lord's Supper? Now, this is important. I want you to hear this. And you say, well, what are the requirements for taking of the Lord's Supper? Well, number one is the Lord's Supper is for believers. And you say, well, what's a believer? It's a person that's given their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. It's a person that has placed their faith in him and given them their life. And you say, well, how do you know this? How do you know that it's just for believers? Well, here's the truth. The truth is that his death means nothing to the lost. It's only those that have been, you know, forgiven by him that can truly understand and partake in what he's done for them. And so that's why you need to be a believer. You may ask, well, how do I place my faith in him? Well, I'm glad you asked. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And you say, well, how do I become a believer? You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe that his Father sent him to this earth to die on a cross for your sins and for my sins. And you come to know him personally. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that here in a little bit. You might be here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. Can I just respectfully ask you to not partake in our Lord's Supper today? It's not to judge you. It's not to make you feel like a jerk or left out. It's just something that we want to honor. And I'm going to explain why here in just a second. The other requirement is this. Not only should you be a believer, but you should be a believer that is right with God. The scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29 says this. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." You know what that verse is saying? It's saying that you need to be right with God. It's not enough. I mean, you need to know Christ. That's one of the requirements. But you need to be right with God when you partake of the Lord's Supper. It says that we are to examine ourselves and see if there's any sin in our lives and ask God to forgive us. You know what's going to happen if you don't? You will bring judgment on yourself. And can I just say this? I think it's better to judge ourselves and get clean before God than to allow God to judge us. Does that make sense? And so here in a little bit, we're going to give you a time to do that. But here's the thing. You say, well, I'm not right with God. I know I'm not right. I'm living in sin. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. Here's the cool thing about God. He is a forgiving God. And so maybe you're here today and you're like, dude, I'm so living in sin. I know Christ personally, but I know I'm living in sin and I'm not doing what I'm called to do. You can ask for forgiveness even now. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, you can confess your sin and he'll forgive you. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're a Christian, but you need to examine your life. Here's the thing. I'm going to ask our ushers to come on up, and they're going to just stand right in front of the table. I'm going to ask Olivia to come and get our song ready. We're going to have a time where you're going to have a moment of time to examine your own heart. And you say, well, this is awkward. It's not awkward. God asked us to do this, and we are going to be obedient to what he's asked us to do. And so I'm going to ask Olivia to start a song that you're going to be able to listen to. But at the same time, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. And while this song plays, I want you to just to examine your own heart. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ personally. He was pierced for our transgressions. Listen, just like John 3:16 said, "For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, his only Son, that if you will believe in him, he will save you and give you eternal life." Maybe you're here today and you've never done that. I want to challenge you, even right now, maybe you just think, you know what? God has prepared me for this moment. He's been knocking at my heart for years or for weeks or for months. And I know I need to give him my heart today. Maybe just right there in your seat, you need to say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins and come into my life and save me." Maybe you just need to do that right now. We are healed by your sacrifice. There's no reason to wait. The life that you gave. We are healed. Listen, if you did that just now, you gave your life to Christ for the first time, listen, we want to know about it. We ask that you would, you know, come to us afterwards, grab one of those orange sheets on the guest table, fill it out, place it in the offering plate so that we can contact you and we can give you the tools that you need to live life with Christ and for Christ. Maybe you're already a believer, but at this point in the service that we're having today, you just need to examine your heart and you need to say, okay, God, what is it? What is it do I need to get rid of? And as He reveals sin to you, things that you need to ask for forgiveness of, I pray that you would examine your heart and then you would confess those sins to Him right now. Just in your heart, He can hear you and He wants to forgive you. So we're going to take a few minutes and allow you to examine your heart and get it right with God.
Pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed.
Lord, as we come to you right now, we just ask that you would bless this time, that you would just show us, even now, Lord, as we prepare to take our Lord's Supper, that you would just show us maybe some things in our lives that we need to confess and we need to get rid of so that we can partake of your Lord's Supper with a right heart. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that it's available to everyone in this place if we will only surrender our lives to you. And so, Lord, bless this time. In your name I pray. Amen. As you receive the bread, if you would just withhold from partaking of it until I prompt you. Let's pray together and ask God to bless this. Lord, we thank you for how your body was crucified for us. And Lord, we remember that today. And as we partake of this bread, we just honor you and we thank you for the sacrifice that you made. In your name I pray. This is my body which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's bless this. Lord, we just come to you again, and we just bless this juice, and we thank you that that it represents your blood that was shed for us. And Lord, we pray that we would always remember the blood that you shed so that we could be forgiven. And so, Lord, we give it to you, and we thank you. In your holy name I pray. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Sacrifice today. May you be honored, not just in this place, but in our lives as we leave this place. We give you all the glory. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here.